And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it. Cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some
I don't call it the off-season. I call it the non-playing season.
Is that what you say when people, you know, normies ask you about what you do in the off-season? You say it's the not the off-season, it's the non-playing season?
I don't correct them, but I'll call it the non-playing season.
Okay.
I'll feel like there's the playing season.
The NPO.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Friday morning, 10:04 a.m. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, Marissa Dunn here to close out the first week of free agency. We've got a couple moves the Eagles have made since we last talked. Darius Slay has been officially locked up to return. The Eagles have added Greedy Williams at cornerback. And in the wee hours of the early morning, late night, they finally did the deal. Marcus Mariota coming. And that means for, I believe, the 13th straight year, the Quackatology runner-up has been signed by the Eagles and not the Quackatology winner. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Excited for this pod. Always enjoy when the pod's before noon. Be more efficient with the rest of the day. So I like it.
Marissa, what's popping in your neck of the woods?
No, everything's going good here. Maryland won yesterday.
You're feeling very good.
Feeling very
good.
What
a day
for Princeton won. We got to give a shout out to Coach
Maryland.
Flynn. Yeah, it's a sunny day here. It's Friday. It feels good.
I got to say, the bracket, first of all, great job by everybody who joined the
Appreciate
bracket.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, a lot of action. Over 250 people.
A lot of great names. I've seen some Bernie Mac dead.
That's a great name.
Yeah, that's a great name. For a reference to the pod, yeah, there are a lot of great references to the pod for in-jokes. Love that. I did, in fact, pick Arizona as my national champion. So, I mean, I was rooting against them because I was rooting for Princeton, for Coach Flynn, and more importantly for Warren. But there goes my shot at the Natty.
Yep, that's okay. It makes it fun. I love a good upset, and when it's a local team making the upset, what could be better? We had St. Peter's a few years ago. Now Princeton. It's awesome.
Fantastic.
But I had ours.
Awesome. Oh, I was just going to say, I love that tennis guy is.
Like there are a couple tennis. There,
right now.
Yeah. I think six people tied for first, including that tennis guy. There's another reference to the guy who didn't play in tennis. So
yeah,
great job by the Sickos. What were we going to say, Zach?
I was going to say I'm not far from you. I had Arizona in the national championship game.
Serves me right. Shouldn't have picked him in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Those last 4 minutes were just brutal. They just froze.
Not as brutal as the last play for Virginia. That poor guy.
Yeah.
He had the greatest pass in Virginia history, and now he has the most infamous pass in Virginia history. I've
How about that guy Funk on Penn State? What a stroke.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
I was just going to say that
funky butt loving.
I've read a lot of Tony Bennett commentary now in the last 24 hours, and well, I get
you go.
It.
Get on a soapbox.
No, this track record's bad, but any argument that is other than the national championship, probably like that's a pretty significant qualifier. You can't just say other than the national championship, right?
True, but also they haven't won a single tournament game in like any other season. It's and they've also missed the tournament, right? Yeah. Like over the past whatever
their last four tournaments, their last four tournaments, they've been upset in the first round three times, including as a one seed.
And they haven't made the tournament.
And then they won the tournament.
Right. So I mean, any fan would take that trade, and
sure, exactly.
He has that on his resume, but that's not good.
No, but he's a really good coach. His team's got to be better in the tournament. Oh, that's an obvious statement. I could tell you how they can be better in the tournament, but we're not doing a Virginia podcast. We are doing a Birds with Friends.
Well, part of it is they bring it upon themselves because that's the style of play that they have, right? They slow the game down, and so there's inherently wider variance when there are fewer possessions.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And they just need to play in transition more. Like they have the ability to do it, but they don't do it enough. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they've had some other run. They made it to the Elite Eight once, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We don't need to make this a Virginia basketball podcast.
No, we do not.
What game are you most excited about today?
What game are you most excited about today?
Well, I don't know. I asked you the question.
Let me pull up my bets here.
Now, next week, very excited. We're going to have Brendan Quinn on the show.
Yeah.
Big Eagles fan, part-time sicko.
Mm-hmm.
And for my money, maybe my favorite writer of the company. So we'll talk a little college basketball, talk some Eagles.
So
what game am I most excited about today? I would say, you know what? I've heard that both Indiana and Kent State have fun players to watch.
Okay. So like a good one. I would say on this slate, I love watching Miami play. Isaiah Wong.
UConn Iona. That's the game I'm most excited about.
You are a Patino guy. That's true. Yeah, the Miami Drake game with Isaiah, who's a Philly guy. Memphis, Florida Atlantic. Memphis is a different type of Memphis team than in past years. Florida Atlantic, I haven't watched them play, admittedly, this year, but with Dusty May as the coach, they're like, what, 30-2, 30-3 or something like that. The Providence-Kentucky game, I mean, Kentucky, I don't know what to make of them, but they had that St. Peter's loss last year, but they've gotten better here the last month and a half. They looked for a while like they were going to be out of it. VCU St. Mary's should be an interesting game.
So every game is your answer.
No, I mean, look, I mean, not like some of these 3-14 games. I'm not particularly like Xavier and the Kennesaw State game. I'm not pumped to watch that one. USC Michigan State. That's early on here.
That's
a good one. You're saying you're naming more than half the games.
Yeah. I enjoyed March Madness.
Yeah. Okay.
And I gotta say, from like a work perspective, March Madness is terrific background content, right? Because
The Athletic is in the chat, so you got to make sure that you know that they know that you're still working.
Yeah.
Well,
you didn't take a day off. Yeah.
No, you could just look at our. I mean, you can look. It's the joke that I used to always say to Emily when I was traveling. Like, if you want to know what I'm doing, just look in the paper, right? Mm. Like that's what I'm doing when I'm traveling. That was back when there was a
Nairobi man arrested paper. For solicitation in Indianapolis.
I'm not shy on social media throughout the day, like just tweeting what's going on with the Eagles. So yeah, I'm definitely working.
All right, Zach, we've done our preamble. Let's get to the news.
Yep.
Let's start with Marcus Mariota signed to what is reportedly a 1-year, $5 million deal that can get up to $8 million in incentives. That is right in line with what the market has been for that level of quarterback. Jameis Winston signed for $4.5 million. Baker Mayfield signed for $4 million. Sam Darnold, $4.5 million. Heinicke signed a 2-year deal, but it got $6 million guaranteed. So he was a sort of a half step up. The Falcons had a little bit of extra cap space. So this is about what the going rate is. Obviously, we talked about Marcus Mariota would make sense for this Eagles team. They have some connections. Alex Taney, the new quarterback's coach, was his teammate for parts of three seasons. The tight ends coach, Jason Michael, was both his offensive coordinator and his quarterback's coach. And there is sort of the duplication of having a run-capable quarterback so that for the first time, Jalen Hurts will be backed up by a player who can bring that element to the offense if he is called into action.
Yeah, I really like this move for the Eagles. I need to be consistent. I liked it when we were doing our quackatology. I think that he was.
How about shout out to Josiah, the editor, who threw Marcus Mariota into the headline of the free agency preview. He nailed it.
He nailed it. Well done.
Put it as the best fit, but he said that's not good enough. Let's elevate this bad boy.
Let's get eyeballs this way, right? Boom. Yeah. So
you're giving Josiah credit for it.
For the headline. Yeah, it's not Bo's headline.
For the headline, yeah.
but you knew that he was going to be.
Well, I did put literally best fit.
Okay.
That's the category that he was in there for. Yeah.
Yeah. I admittedly.
We all get credit. Zach said he was going to sign in the last podcast and he made it to the finals of Quackatology. That you get credit for that too, Marissa. Success has many parents.
Fathers. And then, yes. And then failure is an orphan. That's the expression.
And I said parents because
gotcha.
I'm including Marissa.
Correct. Okay. I was just reciting the expression. Sorry.
You can't let it go unfinished.
So Marcus Mariota is to me, he was
be
outside
the thermostat, not the
all right, here, let me make my point here. Not the thermometer. Okay. Outside of Jacoby Brissett, he was, I thought, the best option for the Eagles for backup quarterbacks. I'm admittedly higher on Marcus Mariota than maybe some others are. I think when you look at what you're trying to find in a backup quarterback, he checks so many of the boxes. He has experience, right? 74 regular season starts, I believe, or around there, 2 postseason starts. He's had success in this league. He has, like you mentioned, a history with some of the key people on the coaching staff. He has the ability to maintain a semblance of the offense. He's at a good age profile, similar age profile to what Nick Foles was when the Eagles signed him in 2017, in that he's the type of quarterback who you're not building your franchise around anymore, but you can do a lot. The way I framed it in our grading the moves is you can do a lot worse at backup quarterback, and you probably can't do much better when you look at what teams have as their backups. I don't think the cost was prohibitive. You weren't going to pay.
By the way, signed for 1 year, $8 million. So he was a tick above.
He was a tick above, and he went to a place where he had a chance to start, right? Or at least compete for playing time. Mariota's not doing that. But also, I mentioned the experience. I sometimes think experience can be overrated with a player or a coach, because the only way to get experience is to have experience, right? So at some time, you need to get your first shot. That said, when you look at this specific role, Jalen Hurts has been injured the past 2 Decembers, okay? You want someone who, if he has to step in late in the season or in a high-leverage game or high-stakes game, it's not the first time he's playing on that type of stage. And Marcus Mariota's done that. He's played in meaningful late season games. He's played in postseason football. So I like this move for the Eagles. I don't know the particulars of what occurred in Atlanta. There's a lot of rumors that he might have quit on his team. There's other stuff you hear about what was going on personally. So I'll find out more. I'll also say that, you know, having the background.
I mean, he did literally leave the team.
Yeah. Having the background on the coaching staff gives insight into his personality. And for us to learn more during the season, there's going to be a documentary that comes out on Netflix that follows Mariota and Kirk Cousins and who's
Mahomes.
The other? And Mahomes, the most important one. Sorry.
It's a tough watch for Eagles fans.
So we'll find out more then. But it would be hypocritical of me to be overly critical of this move, because I've been saying this is the guy they should sign.
I was going to do a cousin. I was going to fall into Cousins land there, but I'll save us. I'll save us the departure. I think it makes sense. I think back to what Jeffrey Lurie said on media night during the Super Bowl week, when he unprompted brought up one of the best decisions that they've made in his time, in his estimation, which was releasing Chase Daniel. And he said, you know, we had a conversation, myself and Howie, and we asked ourselves, you know, is Chase capable of elevating his game if called upon to like to lead us to like a couple playoff wins if that were to happen? And we didn't think that he was. It was a very funny thrown astray, but you know, that's fine. And he said, so we went out and signed Nick Foles, and it cost them money, obviously, to cut Chase Daniel. It was a little bit like, you know, him talking about the three times that he's ever spoke up in the draft room being, you know, Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson. But it's true. And I'm sure they asked themselves the same question. Who's a guy who we can sign who, if push come to shove, is called into action, can elevate his game to a level that can allow us to win some games? This is a team with obvious Super Bowl aspirations. We know that they value that position. They weren't going to enter the season with Ian Book as the backup quarterback. So it makes sense. In terms of like how Mariota has played, he was like right in the middle of the league, 18th out of 33 quarterbacks in EPA per play last year. He wasn't asked to throw a lot. They were the second most run heavy team in the league. He only threw for like 170 something yards per game in his 13 starts. He really struggled on downfield passes, and that's been the knock on him. Obviously, Jalen Hurts has been really good at that, or at least was last year. But that's still the kind of thing that is, you know, not super sticky year to year. So you could hope for a bit of an improvement there.
Favorite term you use, by the way. Or that's one of my favorite terms you use, is sticky. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sticky icky.
Now keep going. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted.
It's okay. So yeah, I think it makes sense. You know, I'm actually like he's only going to be 30 this year. He's a little bit younger than you might have expected. He entered the league sort of young. And as we talked about in Quackatology, this is the final piece of the puzzle that Howie Roseman has been trying to build ever since he came back into power, of just getting every little petty thing he can over Chip Kelly. And now he has gotten the guy, and he has won.
Yeah, so, I mean, to that point, 8 years ago, I said they should do everything they could to get this guy because I thought he was perfect for that offense. I'd obviously watched him at Oregon. I was at the national championship game where he played in. I went to the Maxwell Awards in Atlantic City where I did a story on him up there. I remember it very well. It was the day Emily and I moved in together.
Wow, it feels like there's more to that story.
I drove to Atlantic City in the morning. I got back to my apartment, which was like decorated very Spartanly, like, you know, books, maybe some like motivational sayings on
Real
the wall.
Bachelor. Okay.
But no, not like, you know, and then all of a sudden I get home from the Maxwell Awards, Emily and I joke about this, and there's pictures of like her and her friends everywhere I turn, right? I've never met this person in my life, and now this person's right in front of me, you know, in my bedroom, or, you know, like, in terms of the
on
picture.
The ceiling.
Just like, I've never seen so many photos just and framed and like everywhere I turn, right?
That's really funny.
Yeah,
she was giving it some life. She was, you know,
that's what she said. Yeah, that's what she said.
So this was the apartment that you already lived in and she moved in with you.
And she moved in. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So so I remember that. So that's.
Did she take down any of the motivational sayings that you had up, or did she leave what was already there?
She left, but then she moved. She moved some stuff around. I remember the thing that I was like most like perturbed by is she got rid of my trash can, like, you know, like she wanted one that fit under the sink, and I guess I had mine, you know, and I was like, wait, I got that trash can 3 years ago. It was a perfectly fine trash can. Why?
Yeah, you love that trash can.
I understand that. Who
were you, Oscar the Grouch? Is that where you live? Is that where you slept?
What's that? No, it was just like she just completely took over the she's at work now. She's not watching. One, she'll laugh.
First day. My trash can. Where's my trash
yes.
can?
She'll tell you that. Yeah. She'll tell you that. Get back to Mariota. Yeah. So I was at the Maxwell.
That's really funny. I can't wait to ask about that one day.
I remember writing about there was anyone who was an Eagles fan in 2015 or followed the Eagles in 2015 remembers what that conversation was like. And I mean, Sal Palantonio was like chanting, do the deal on radio. I think it was right. I mean, that was a big thing. So I thought that he was going to be great in the NFL. I thought he was going to be great in this system. And Chip Kelly said, I remember draft night, there was like four questions before we asked about Nelson Aguilar. And one of those, you know, and he said, it's like house shopping and it's just out of your price range. And, so you don't even knock on the door and ask, because the question was, did you offer players? Cause the report had come out that they offered Bradford, Cox, Kendricks, I think Boykin may be in there along with two mm-hmm. first round picks. And he said it never got to that point, but he did admit they were trying to get Mariota. So
I remember the next morning. So the morning after the first round of the draft, Sam Bradford came in to the cafeteria like very early in the morning. And you know how like a low energy sort of Sam Bradford is and how sort of soft spoken he is. And he walks in, he goes, I'm still effing here.
I like Sam. Yeah. I like Sam.
It's good. It's a good moment.
It's a good Bradford story.
Yeah. So I think it is. It's a fun little full circle thing. And I mean, do you agree that that's definitely on Howie Roseman's mind?
No, I don't think that's on.
Oh, I think it's absolutely on his mind. And I think you know it because Adam Schefter tweeted about it.
Oh, I didn't see that tweet. What did Adam say?
Let's see. He said something like, he just referenced that, like, you know, however many years, you know, in 2015.
Well,
going after him and now he finally lands in Philadelphia or something.
I have said this before, that if
back Howie, in the 2015 draft, the Eagles under Chip Kelly desperately tried to trade up in order to select Marcus Mariota. 8 years later, Mariota finally winds up in Philadelphia. Yeah. That so, tells I mean, you absolutely that Howie yeah, okay. is, it's on Howie's
so,
mind.
So, I mean, obviously, like I wrote about this in our grading the move. The context is a lot different now. Marcus Mariota is going on to his fourth team. He's a journeyman quarterback at right. this point, right? Like it's not hard to acquire him. But I did say then and. It wasn't the most popular decision then because Howie kind of got kicked to the curb. But I remember talking to people then, including my coworkers, saying if Howie was still the GM here, I think they would have found a way they could have found a way to make that deal. I think that's one of Howie's strengths is deal making. And, maybe the Titans never would have made that trade, but maybe if you just kept throwing things into it, you could have compelled them to do it. Or there are other things you could have done to try to position yourself. So I don't know that to be the case. And Eagles history in the past 8 years has frankly worked out better than Mariota's history in the past 8 years. The Eagles have won a Super Bowl. They have.
Well, that's part of the needling is that I got the guy and he's only going to be my backup. You wanted him so desperately to be your franchise guy and he's not that good.
Yeah. But I mean, from a football perspective, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. I have seen in the side of the chat. Do you think
like a week from now, a package is going to arrive at the football offices of UCLA without a return mark? It's going to be unmarked who sent it, and it's just going to be a Mariota Eagles jersey, and then there's going to be a picture of a middle finger on top.
don't you think they both moved on since then?
No, don't you know Howie Roseman? Absolutely not.
he's won a Super Bowl
for more than a decade would make you think that he has moved on.
He's won a Super Bowl. He's won Executive of the Year twice, right? He's gotten his quarterbacks back. He has a franchise quarterback now for the second time. I mean,
like, he wouldn't be as good at his job if he didn't carry that. If he didn't carry every little slight like that, right?
That's the way he operates. Yeah. I mean, I think he's still motivated by that year. Do you think he still like holds Mari, you know,
I think he's still.
Do you think he made this acquisition out of?
No, I don't think he made. I don't think that's why he signed him.
But you think
it's
a
nice little bonus? I think it's a tiebreaker.
Okay. All right. I mean, it'd be interesting to have that conversation with him. After a few mezcal shots, right?
You say,
did you do it for that reason?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Heavy pours. Okay.
You need a heavy pour. Yeah. A heavy pour would do me in pretty quickly. You need a few heavy pours in order for it to affect you.
What is that?
Wow, that was a shot.
No, that's a compliment. That's a compliment. We were out at the Super Bowl, and we're looking at the wine list, and Bo's like, I mean, yeah,
I wanted to split a bottle of wine with three people. I thought that Bo's was like,
I can take the bottle. I'll have a few glasses. You guys have one. Yeah, it was a compliment.
How is that a compliment? You're allowed to take shots, but don't then pretend that it's a compliment.
No, it's a compliment because I'm saying you can hang. You can. You can put them back. That's what I'm saying.
If you can put them back. I don't know that that's a compliment.
That's definitely a compliment. That's definitely it. I guarantee you, if we're hanging out with a bunch of coaches next week, okay, you can hang better than I can.
I don't think that that's a compliment, but I'll let you just waddle in it. Okay. Waddle? That's not the right word. All right. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and talk about the other moves in the secondary and what might be coming next for the Eagles as we head into free agency weekend.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, back on Burns with Friends, Bo, Zach, and Marissa. Zach, another move last night that broke. Mary Kay Cabot breaking this bad boy. The Eagles agreeing to terms with former second-round pick Greedy Williams, former Michael Dunn teammate. Marissa, do we have any Greedy Williams stories?
So before Michael left this morning, I asked. I said, you know, do I have to share anything about Greedy? And he's like, great guy. That's what he said. So. Okay. You know, the offense and defense don't really like intermingle too often.
Sure.
They're all doing their individual stuff. But he's like, every interaction he's had with him has been good. So, yep.
That he greedy MF-er.
Yeah. What'd you say?
It'd be funny if he's like stealing everybody's food in the cafeteria or something.
No, he's not greedy.
That's how greedy he is.
Well, I was going to say as a teammate and colleague of Bo's, I always appreciate when there's a name that Bo can have fun with in a story. And so,
yes, agreed.
Greedy Williams will certainly fit that. I mean, if you think back 4 years ago, he was a big prospect coming out of LSU. I mean, from a prototype perspective, 6'2", 185, ran a 4.3, 7.40. So he has a lot of things you look for there that can't be taught. He has starting experience with the Browns. Of course, the Browns drafted over him and did not re-sign him. So you keep that in perspective. He missed the 2020 season with an injury, I believe, shoulder. And my read on this missed six games last year. This is a depth signing. This is someone who you can go and you can sign like a 30-year-old for depth, or you can sign a 25-year-old change of scenery player with height, weight, speed, and you try to develop him. And we'll get into the Slay Bradbury thing. But as we've discussed for the past few episodes, I think for 2023, this is a good situation for the Eagles having these guys. I think you get worried about anything beyond next season with that being your starting cornerback combination, and you need to at least have some internal options. I'm not saying Greedy Williams is going to be here in 2025. Frankly, on a one-year deal for a backup, the odds are against it. But
yeah, I mean, he may not be here in week one.
Yeah, he may not be here week one. But it's also the type of thing where if he comes in, you like what you see, you can re-sign him to potentially be a starter the following season, right? Or to be a part of that scheme. So I'm also curious to see how this works out if Zach McPherson moves inside to the slot, if Josiah Scott moves to safety. I mean, we focus so much on the top of the depth chart, but the Eagles can move things around on the middle of the depth chart to potentially accommodate some reserve. So
yeah, I think Josiah is an interesting one.
Yeah,
for sure. Are you hearing that somewhere, or is that pure speculation? Because I wish, like, we haven't seen him ever take snaps inside in the past.
Well, when he was drafted, he was viewed as a guy who would make a lot of sense in the slot. And when the Eagles talked about him when they drafted him as someone who has inside outside versatility, I think he was kind of rated by draft analysts as a slot cornerback coming out. He brings a little more size there than your Josiah Scott, Avante Maddox profile. So it could be something to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think this Greedy Williams signing, I would be surprised if there's any like real guaranteed money here. It's probably, this is the kind of signing that you make that allows you to ward off having to force, a draft pick. This is like, if there's not a corner there you like in the first two rounds, it's not that Greedy Williams is going to solve that, but it papers over things to allow you to not do that. It's good business. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm assuming that there's not a lot of guaranteed money here. So,
and the reason I bring up the draft pedigree is because something teams literally do is they have a database on a player, right? So they keep all their draft reports, their draft interviews, whatever it may be. And then obviously the pro scouting staff is updating that with their scouting reports throughout the time in the NFL. But I've spoken to executives and coaches who one thing they say is that like when they're interviewing players before the draft or they're scouting players before the draft, it's not just for that draft. It's for the possibility that this is a guy you might be able to acquire down the line. And we have heard that. So Greedy Williams is absolutely someone who, like, because he was a big prospect coming into the draft, he's someone who a lot of people had eyeballs on, and the Eagles obviously had a scouting report on him coming out.
And if we ever get to ask about him, I'm sure we will hear that they had close up eyeballs on him last summer during the
good
joint
point. AJ Brown had that well-known catch.
Oh, was that on Greedy Williams?
Yes. Yeah. Nice. Where he mossed him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think it's fine. Nothing to complain about. Since we last spoke, Zach, we were potting in the middle of the news that maybe Darius Slay was coming back. Turns out he is coming back. Do you feel any differently now than you did then about how things have played out here?
No. So basically, my interpretation of what happened here is it's kind of a compromise between them just flat out restructuring him and them giving him a new deal. He gets like $5-6 million extra dollars guaranteed. He's on the roster this year. They were going to have a cap hit on Slay next year anyways, right? So they give him a little more guaranteed money, okay? But they don't give him this huge deal that keeps him locked into the team long term. I mean, so we'll see how the structure is. What surprised me this offseason has been keeping Bradbury. It's not keeping Slay. Slay, that because they were going to have to pay Slay one way or the other. The Bradbury deal's new money. And that's where you look at it and you say they have a lot of money and a lot of trust tied into two guys over 30 here. And I do think I wrote this last night and I feel strongly about this, that from like a 2023 perspective, if you say you have two edge rushers who you think are at or near the top of the league, three double-digit guys, but Sweat and Reddick you think are like really good edge rushers, and then you have two really good corners, which I think they think they can be in 2023. That's a good place. That's a good foundation to have for a defense. Then they're going to have to figure things out at linebacker, figure things out at safety. They're going to need development at interior defensive tackle. But I think that when you know you can, when you have confidence, you can get to the quarterback on the edge, and you have confidence that you can cover the opposing receivers, then you like it. And they're really going to have to draft well, especially high up in 23 and 24 to replace some of these aging players. But I think this defense can be fine this season because of that foundation.
Yeah, I think it can be fine. I think like the whole, you know, having four podcasts this week and reacting to every development as it happens, you know, they're little time capsules, but it's like very much that we are like purposely, or not purposely, but by design, you know, missing the forest for the trees. Like we have to overreact to every little thing. It's as if we were podcasting about a college basketball game after the first 5 minutes of the game. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, Maryland's getting killed. Like this is terrible. When you know that there's so much more to go and things tend to even out as the game goes on. And so it's funny that like there have been so many moving parts that we've reacted to, but really all that has happened that's been different than what we expected is the Bradbury thing.
Yes.
And we'll see how else they fill those other positions. You can't really analyze it single, like, move by move without knowing mm-hmm. what the full picture is going to look like. This is the Howie Roseman thing from last year about there's the whole offseason to go. But I think bringing Darius Slay back without committing to him long-term, I mean, it's not ideal that the five biggest contracts they've given out have been to guys who are 30, 32, mm-hmm. yeah. 33, 35, and 35. But that's the way that they're built. And I also think that there is something to, like, from the big picture discussion we've been having about like their path to long-term Super Bowl relevancy is to have this elite offense, and you can't really rely on the defense. They can't, it's not like they can spend a ton of money on young guys on defense when they know that they're going to be, they've got the Jalen Hurts contract coming up. They're going to pay mm-hmm. Devontae Smith. Like they're going to want to add more weapons on offense. They're going to mm-hmm. want to add a Lane Johnson replacement. Yep. So like in terms of the age curves, it sort of makes sense that they would have to be committed to guys who are not going to be here for much longer on defense. It all makes sense. I think that there's a real, they need to plan for Darius Slay and James Bradbury not both playing 17 games again, because that's probably unlikely to happen, but it's all fine business. And I also think we should give Howie Roseman credit for, like, one of his strengths that we've talked about is knowing the market and mm-hmm. sticking to numbers. And it seems like that's what worked out in the Eagles' favor here in getting Darius Slay back is sort of calling their bluff and then being willing to move just a little bit off of it to get the deal done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. And I actually think there's kind of been a misunderstanding, at least from my read and my interpretation of it on the 2018 offseason, in that I don't think they made a mistake running, you know, trying to run it back in 2018. I think the mistake they made was thinking that window was a little longer than it was. 2018 was actually a good roster, and they, you know, they had a good team that year. I thought when you got into 2019 and even 2020, there was a little bit too much, like, let's keep trying to keep this window open. So
which was my beef with the Slay trade in the first place.
Okay. Yeah. In 2020. Yeah. And that's like, so based on that timeline, we're talking about the 2025 offseason here, right? I've heard some interpretation where Howie's doing the same thing he did after the last Super Bowl. Well, you can make an argument that like they should try to run it back with last year's group. They were a really talented team, and none of these players that they brought back are, I mean, Cox and Graham are, you know, Cox is going to have a big role for them. The Graham money's not big. I mean, that's what you would pay for that role. The Cox one we can have a conversation about at some point, and maybe even Bradbury. But I think that it's fine. Like they should try to have a really good team next year, okay, with these players. What would be a problematic is if, like, next offseason they're like, well, let's roll it back with Graham and with Cox and with, you know, and all these guys, right? At some point.
Well, yeah, but at some point you have to, like,
that's what I'm saying.
We say, but we say that it might be this season that they should have done that. Like,
maybe so. That's up but to I'm their saying, evaluation. Like my read on this is that they know that these next two drafts in particular, when they have, nine picks and maybe more in the first three rounds, they need to replenish this depth chart with top young talent and who are going to start to take over, especially on defense, because like you said, they have a young offense where guys are going to pay, but where guys are going to get paid, and they need to hit these draft picks in order for this maintenance stage to prolong itself. And then the other thing, I don't think the 2018 offseason was that, but they missed on Haloti Ngata and Mike Wallace, but those didn't kill you. I think it was like the following year when you go and you get Deshaun. Okay. And then
you extend Alshon
and you extend
Brandon Brooks.
Exactly. It becomes a point where you thought that window was open a little longer than it was. I still think that I don't think their roster management right now is mismanaged, but we'll see what they do with these draft picks and with some of these moves.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would have been nice to add one younger player, but.
So here, let me ask you this too. In hindsight, when you see how the money has come in, I know it's not apples for apples. Would you have kept Hargrave instead of the Bradbury Cox combination? Because you probably could have made that work.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Maybe. Now, I mean, obviously, you have to then find a way to find a starting corner.
Cornerback, yeah.
I don't know. I did think that Hargrave number was a little bit too much.
Prohibitive. Okay.
Yeah, I thought so. But would I rather have, you know, we've already talked about, would you rather have Zach Allen and somebody else?
Yeah.
I mean, even like Shaq Griffin, mm-hmm. like probably.
Yeah, just to shake it up a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
But I don't think this is bad business. I just think it's pushing the can down the road a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think I just can't overstate like how important it is for them to hit on these high picks in particular. And I mean, we'll see how that goes. I mean, the 2019 draft hurt the Eagles because the 2018 draft was really good. Like we talked about, but that was drafted for down the road. They only had one pick in the first two rounds. And, you know, one thing they did in 2018 was they make that trade in the first round to really try to capitalize on 2019. And then the Dillard and the JJ picks, like those did not work out. And things look a little different if those picks turned out differently. Like, just imagine, by the way, if you know that Dillard pick that year, that was an absolutely loaded defensive line class, right? Like if that was Dexter Lawrence or that was Jeffrey Simmons, right? You were in a much different situation now. Now then, right.
You don't sign Hargrave.
And, yeah. Yeah, but point being, first round picks are premium picks. When in your first rounder in 19 and your first rounder in 20 don't give you anything really, then it's kind of a void of top young talent there. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
We had a chance to talk to Rashad Penny yesterday, Zach. Big old shoulders on Mr. Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Big, strong, powerful man, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. Rashad Penny has less guaranteed money than Boston Scott does. Did you know that?
I know because you texted me last night.
Mm. So that tells you, I mean, I think there are some nice upside hopes for Rashad Penny, but I don't think they're viewing him as the answer here at running back.
Yeah, I think this is more, and we talked about this with Marissa and Michael, or with Marissa about Michael 2 nights ago, that sometimes as a player, you're going for where you think the best opportunity is. And my sense from talking, no free agent signs somewhere and it's like, yeah, this is a really shitty opportunity for me, right? But
boy, did they pay.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's sort of understood though for everybody who goes to Washington or Arizona. Like
that's
like,
a good point, actually. Yeah. Yeah. But man, that money was great. You know.
Yikes, look at this place.
How could you say no? That was very much my read in talking to Penny was that like this is a place where I could come and try to get a restart to use his term. He spoke about the training staff here. Now it's kind of odd for me to hear that because there was a point where that was considered like problematic, but they have been remarkably healthy during the past 2 years. There's a really good running game here, like we've seen. It's a place where, and we saw this in Philly with, you know, your Jalen Ragers and some of the other players that they've had over the years, Nelson Agholor. When you're taken in the first round, there's context attached to your name. And Rashad Penny was always the first round running back there that the Seahawks took. And like, this is a fresh start for him. So I look at his deal as a chance to come in, try to, you know, prove himself and get some, you know, have some production, stay healthy and hit the market again next year. But we said this on the previous pod and I've said it in other conversations. I think the top running back for the Eagles might be training for the draft right now.
I think that's right. I think my read on this is that they would like to add a guy who can be their lead running back in the draft.
But you don't want to go in and force it.
Exactly. So, yeah. And I think they've done a good job. I mean, we'll see. They've got to do that at linebacker and they've got to do that at safety. But that's like when you're not spending at the top of the market, that's the goal is to enter the draft without having to force stuff. Yep. And that's why they got in trouble with the Rager pick. Because they went into the first round needing to draft a wide receiver
And obviously they misevaluated Rager over Jefferson, but that's part of the problem. And I think Howie Roseman has always done better when drafting not for need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think this CJ Gardner-Johnson thing is going to get done, Zach?
I mean, yeah, I do, actually.
You do?
I do. I mean, clearly the Slay contract opened money for them, right? CJ hanging around this long makes me think that he's not getting what he's looking for. And I think he probably has more value with the Eagles than with some other teams, right? So, yeah, I do. I mean, yeah, what do you think, actually? I should defer to you.
We don't have to defer, but I guess at this point I would think that it does happen. But I really have no idea.
Yeah,
you can see how temperamental things are going just based on his social media.
Exactly. I mean, the in free agency, the market tells you what they think of you often, right? So we'll see. Mm. I do like still. I mean, not to put together the Brown secondary of the past few years. I really love John Johnson. I think he's
Thomas
a good player. I think he's a good player, and I think he's. I imagine he'll come in at a good price, and I like that profile of player as well.
Mariota, by the way, does not qualify for the comp pick because he was released by the Falcons. Correct. So, an extra little bump there.
Correct. We had to give show how the tofu was made. We went back to an old grading the moves. So the longtime Birds of Friends and Athletic Eagles content coverage, Eagles content readers will appreciate where we had the gradings, creative grading scale. And I texted Bo and I was like, let's do a grading scale of Eagles backup quarterbacks. And he said, let's do a grading scale of chips.
Yeah.
And so I deferred to you. We went with the chips. Who would you can read what the chip is. Who would your backup quarterback have been?
I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to go Vince Young without
Jeff Garcia. Vince Young is a good one.
Yeah. Vince Young without the quote. Without, like, you know, if you just look at Vince Young.
Yeah. Vince Young is the perfect one.
Yeah.
Titans too,
playing style, former Heisman Trophy winner, won the.
That's the perfect one.
Yeah, he. That's why I pitched it, right?
You came up with the scale with the answer in mind.
Okay. Exactly. Yes, yes.
That's weak.
Yeah, I was sitting there this morning, and I was saying to Emily, I was like, "What chip would fit this description here?"
and did you use what she gave you?
She was trying to think of, like, she was Googling certain chips that would, okay. And then I threw out a chip and she was like, oh, that's a good one. So,
okay.
Check that out on the Athletic. I hope any minute now.
There we go.
Found it about an hour and a half ago. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Marissa, what do you got going on? Big game tomorrow night.
Yeah. Big game tomorrow night. I'm a little disappointed. I pulled this clip. I was waiting for Zach to throw to it, but so I might as well just do it. The photo of Penny shaking Bo's hand on the Enquirer. Excellent shot if you haven't seen it.
Two football men, just real recognized real.
Yeah. But yeah, excited for a big, big weekend of basketball.
It's like, you know, when you walk into a room, you know who the other alphas are.
Yeah. How was the handshake?
It's a good handshake.
You know what Rashad Penny said? He said, that's a guy who can throw it back a bit. Yeah, so.
Yes, exactly, Zach. For those that don't know, he went around and shook everyone's hand, correct?
He did, yeah.
Correct, but he Big started
move.
With Bo.
Great move. Right.
He didn't start with me, but you could tell that it was the one that he appreciated the most. It was the one he was looking forward to.
Yeah, look at that eye contact there. Look at that. Yeah, that right there. That's an alpha. That's an alpha photo if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I mean, that's two heroes, two legends. Meeting face to face.
In the chat, how would you caption that photo?
What would your caption be? That's a good question, Zach. I don't know. Maybe we have the chat weigh in.
Yeah.
Something like, about participating in one of your games this year. Mm-hmm. Like,
do you know where you ranked in Quackatology?
Yeah, or something like that.
It's an easy, I think what he's saying is congratulations on your Swooper Championship.
Exactly. Something could you imagine those lines?
Yeah. Yeah, could you imagine, like, yeah, there's always times when the PR staff will like tell the guy something to butter up the. They do this more with like Angelo or asking, you know, before they go on radio, right? You know, say this to Angelo, that kind of thing.
Right. Do you think he told them to go and shake people's hands?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know Cameron Sutton did it in Detroit, but I'm saying, could you imagine the day when they're like, that guy over there, go up to him and say, you really like his games on his podcast or something like that.
Chris, you know, says, I'm the guy who will ask you weird questions in the locker room.
Respectfully to Bo, I think there's a lot of people who would fit in that category. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote about one of the star players' wives making banana pudding. So let's be honest about, like, we all ask weird questions sometimes.
But they make
the nature of the job is, yeah, the nature of the job. I always say this, the nature of the job is to try to get not just information, but like tell you something you didn't know about these guys. And in order to do that, you have to ask questions that they're not expecting. If it's only stuff that they've talked about in the past, then it's probably not an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. All right. I said we'd try to get this one under an hour. I think we can do it.
Impressive. So,
anything else that we need to talk about?
Yeah, let's just look, if I don't want to be the one who holds us up here.
You typically
but,
are.
So I do want to ask you this, because we're entering into the second wave of free agency, essentially. And we're expecting Gardner Johnson resolution one way or the other. But
by the way, sorry. Very funny answer from Rashad Penny when I asked who he knew in the building. Andre Sacheret and Marcus Epps. And he knew that Marcus Epps had left, but like, that's a funny little.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So my question to you is, the owners meetings begin on March 26th, you know, March 27th in earnest, right? So hopefully have a chance. Hopefully we have a chance on the 27th and 28th. Well, the 28th, we'll talk to Nick Sirianni. We know that. Hopefully on the 27th, we talk to Howie Roseman. Between now and then, do you think there's anything done that moves the needle? Do you think the Eagles add a linebacker or an outside safety in the next week? Or do you anticipate this being something that, you know, closer to the draft or after the draft they add to it?
I think they'll add a safety before the owners' meetings, whether that's CJ Gardner-Johnson or somebody else. And then linebacker, I'm not so sure.
Okay.
They may wait. I think they might, but they might add somebody next week for, you know, $2 million, $3 million.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yes, I agree with you there. I think next week is actually, it's a week when they had that they added Kaiser White in. That second week is a week when they have added players in the past. They added Anthony Harris on this day last year, the Friday of free agency. What's so funny?
No, just I like the idea of commemorating the 1 year anniversary of re-signing Anthony Harris.
I remember,
raise a glass for, and you know I'm raising a bunch of them, and pour one that down your gullet for Anthony Harris, who was released at.
Did that offend you? I think no, she would say
I
like
go off of it.
Yeah, you can outdrink us. That's a good. That's like a quality. That's a good quality.
Yes, I remember when we. I remember when we did the Ernest podcast. Like, say something that you really like. You wish you could take from one of the other people, and it was like, you know, Zach said something very nice about our writing skills, and she was like, "I wish I could drink like Bo." I'm like, oh, thanks.
No, it's true. It's like you know, at the.
Who do you think I am, Ernest Hemingway?
Well, you're a terrific writer, so that, yeah, so maybe so. it's a good thing. It means you can hang, right?
Second time
I'm not like out there like hanging with people. Whatever.
All right.
It's Friday and St. Patrick's Day. It's a great day to hang.
There you go.
Are you an Aaron Express guy or
never once in my life. No thanks.
It always overlapped with the NCAA tournament, and I would be like,
right, you know, like such a lower priority. Yeah,
I'd be trying to watch this like UC Santa Barbara game, and there'd be someone coming through the bars, just like throwing back the Guinnesses.
It's happening tomorrow, I tell you.
When I lived in Hoboken, there was St. Patty's Day was a huge deal there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was in Chicago last weekend, it was.
Who's your
crazy.
Favorite Patrick?
Who's my favorite Patrick? I mean, I'd say.
Here comes a high school baseball teammate.
or guys I grew up with, named Pat. I'll give you one. My former editor at the Daily News and Inquirer, Pat McClune. Great man, stand up man, always had my back, helped me. Personally, helped my career. Indebted to Pat McClune. So that's.
Do you know that he's a Patrick?
I imagine he's Patrick McClune. Yeah, I imagine that's the case.
Not Patrick McClune.
Bo, be careful with your. be careful with that slip. All right, we want to wrap this up.
I can't do an Irish accent.
I mean, there are people who.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Who's your favorite Patrick? Ewing? You grew up in New York during that time?
No.
Okay.
Swayze. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, y'all. It's getting kind of hazy. okay.
How about you, Marissa? Your favorite Patrick?
I have an Uncle Pat.
There you go.
Uncle Pat.
Shout out to Uncle Pat.
Yep.
Also, to give a little behind the scenes here, We do cameos for listeners that go to charity, and Bo always asks in the cameo, whoever's giving the cameo, your favorite such and such. And Bo likes to let – Bo makes fun of me because I'll always bring up someone I grew up with. So they ask me my favorite Pete, I'll say Pete Vernon, right? Or my favorite Sean, I'll say Sean Grieve, or like that kind of thing.
And it's funny now because you're explaining this again as if people know who Pete Vernon and Sean Grieve are.
I do want to say I have some of my former baseball teammates listen to the pod and they just wanted to fact check me. They're like, weren't we number 6 in the country and not number 10? And I said, no, we were number 10 by USA Today. We were number 6 by Collegiate Baseball Magazine. So I thought USA Today had a little more gravitas.
Mm. Yeah, but you didn't want to take the higher ranking?
Well, no, I thought USA Today.
We were fact checking your sources, Zach.
Okay, yeah, they brought that up. Yeah, number 6 by Collegiate Baseball, number 10 by USA Today. 32-2 was our record.
All right, Peck Nest Migrate, Pete Vernon, Sean Grieve, and Matt Berman.
Oh, I mean, my brothers are mine, so I'll definitely that's my brother, and then Sean and Pete. Yeah, I always want to hang out with them. I'm not migrating either one, so but can my brother hang? Much better than I can, yeah for sure. Much better than I can, yeah. I mean, though, I used to come home at midnight and they were still rolling, so
okay, well, we did it. All right. we crossed the hour mark just like we wanted to. Okay. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll talk to you at some point next week. Hopefully there's some news between now and then. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck to Maryland. Good luck to Princeton.
Good luck to Michael Dunn.
Yeah.
Good luck to Michael Dunn, who I believe is signing to be the New England Patriots quarterback for $15 million.
He can't gritty. He can't go there.
And wearing number 12. He can gritty. I've seen him dance. He was awesome.
Oh, man. That would be a sight.
Yeah, I think he could do it. All right. So for Marissa and Zach and Pete Vernon, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week. And as always, we love you.